Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning, three dudes got together because they thought they could do a podcast about professional wrestling that would surpass all others, provide real insight, and absolutely blow people's minds. And boy, were they right.
Probably. Thanks for joining the Three Dudes of Doom as they bring their unique outlook to the world of professional wrestling. Now welcome the heel, George Alvarado.
We're taking over.
The mouth, Vic Vespa.
We have to document it.
And of course, your host of the Three Dudes of Doom, Sergio Barrera.
That's okay, it's our damn show.
Now join us for tonight's episode of the Three Dudes of Doom.
It's beginning to look a lot like the end of the year, and thus, though we are on break, we are taking a moment to have a special, special holiday episode here at the Three Dudes of Doom as we get ready to really unveil the very first of something that we're going to hopefully do year to year, and that is our 2019 Three Dudes of Doom End of Year Wrestling Awards. I am Sergio Barrera, and as always, I am joined by the two coolest cats that I know in the wrestling world, at least, or I guess in the wrestling podcast world, George Alvarado, Vic Vespa. We're on break, but god dang, I'm looking forward to tonight.
Wrestling, wrestling, Three Dudes of Doom podcast. We're going to judge on that. We won't budge. And
we're going
to
have a good time.
We hope to make you laugh.
Wow, that, yeah, there you go. That's next year's music. So
Merry WrestleMess, everyone.
And right afterwards, our other intros were just three sexy guys. Yeah, eat French fries.
I've got really big thighs.
Big
okay, maybe
thighs.
Not.
We have all bad eyesight. Bad eyesight.
Oh, man. It has begun already. So, gentlemen, we are here, and we are, like we said in the beginning, we are on our break between Season 2 and Season 3, but we did say that we would have a special episode during the holiday season for a special inaugural event that I know, I hope, and I believe I speak for the both of you when I say this, that this becomes a yearly staple within the context of our show. And that's an opportunity to weigh in with our thoughts on who would we award end of year awards to. Some of the most, influential media magazines and websites have end of year awards. I'm talking Pro Wrestling Illustrated, The Wrestling Observer, the Pro Wrestling Torch. These are all respected media that present an end of year awards scenario. And so I wanted us to get in on that. And I know it's something that we all talked about would be fun. And so here we are, not that we are influential yet, but we hope to, we will be because we're going to keep working hard. And so we're going to present our Three Dudes of Doom end of year awards for 2019. This is the inaugural version. Guys, talk a little bit about why you're excited that we're doing this and what you feel, how do we get to a point where this becomes as important as any other recognition out there?
I was excited just to relive the year of wrestling. This was such a huge, huge year in wrestling, even though some things didn't work out, the way that we were hoping for, the women main eventing the 7-hour WrestleMania. Not to, their fault, but it kind of fizzled out, unfortunately, because people were just so exhausted. But I mean, that was huge. AEW pretty much setting up shop on Wednesday nights, NXT following suit shortly after, NXT constantly raising the bar. The indies, anything in the independent avenue seems to be blowing up right now. I think the only thing that's not really thriving is Ring of Honor. So shout out to those fellows and ladies and anyone else. But yeah, The cool thing about this episode was going back and kind of reliving all those moments from the year, which is very similar to what we did with our Legend series, you know, going back and living, reliving those memories of the, you know, different wrestlers. So I guess it kind of fits with the theme for this year too. Way to go, guys. We did it.
Yeah, the I think the hardest part was, you know, and I don't know if you guys can remember or if y'all want to agree or not, but you know, I think our week to week episodes, you know, it's like it's natural for us. It comes together where, you know, we're gonna have our different opinions, but to kind of say, oh, well, here's the people that stood out. Here's the people that definitely deserve something. Here's some people that, you know, these people are regarded as, you know, the top of the top in the industry. And I think that's probably like one of the toughest conversations we've had. And it wasn't so much that we don't get along or it's so much that we have different, you know, we're hot-headed or anything like that. It's just more of, you know, we were each bringing up valid points to the point where we're like, oh man, but we want to miss out on this person, or oh man, this person deserves this, or oh man, this person is this. And it's just, you know, we each brought that insight to the point where at the end of our conversation with this, it was like, okay, did we just get it over with? I think we got it over with. Now let's leave it in the hands of everybody else. And, you know, being tempted to not like go back on our decisions, just because even afterwards, I think it was one of those where we're like, oh, but we forgot. Oh, nope, too late. Oh, but we forgot. Oh, it's too late. You know, but I don't know. Like, what did you guys think? This is probably like, to me, this was one of our hardest conversations that we've had, you know, since we've been doing this show to this year.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. I mean, one of the things I remember about that conversation just a few weeks ago was that the sort of push and pull that we had, and also the way in which it showed how, well, where our focus is. You know, you guys are sharper on NXT than I am. When it comes to, you know, certain talent, we had discussions around, okay, have they really done enough to merit this, or has enough occurred for them to be in whatever category we were talking about? And we also talked about the notion of balance. One of the things that I think we can insert right here at this point is talking about how, for those who voted, you know, they would have noticed that we didn't split our categories into, you know, a gender-based approach. We didn't have male wrestler of the year or female wrestler of the year. It was wrestler of the year. And within that category, we have several candidates that were, you know, from both sides, either the, you know, the men or the women. And that was important to us. I appreciated the value that all of us saw in that, because it's about wrestling. And this year, more than any other, was the culmination of that journey. And we had episodes about that in our first season. In fact, we concluded our first season with an episode regarding the evolution of the women's wrestling game, into the fact that it's now just wrestling, in our opinion. And I hope I'm not overspeaking, guys, but that was one of the things I loved, is that we were able to really, really wrestle through a lot of nominees. And I think we came out with the right thing for our show, and that was really enjoyable. Vic, what about you?
I mean, I didn't think it was a difficult conversation. We were eating Mexican food.
Well, yeah.
That was like a super, I was like, I could stay here forever. They keep bringing us chips. It's always fun to put together lists too. You know, I tried to be objective, but I always tried to make sure that my favorites were in there. Bailey is probably in way too many categories.
She needed to be in more categories. Every single hardcore wrestler of the year goes to Bailey. Best Bailey buddies goes to Bailey. Best streamers and best wrestling gear goes to Bailey.
I will give you that.
I dare y'all to argue with me. If you guys want to argue with me, go follow me on Twitter, simplygeorge1234. Get me on Instagram, simplygeorge1234, both same platforms. If you guys feel like it, go hit up our page for our Three Dudes of Doom, you know, Facebook, all those other ones. Hit up Vic. He'll tell you all that stuff.
So if you want to complain about George, you can visit our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts. They're all online right now. All Three Dudes of Doom, except for, hang on here, I've got it written down. Except for Twitter, that starts with the number 3, everyone else is spelled out.
Yeah.
That was so well done. I got to tell you.
Wow, it was really George. He just kind of passes out.
Yeah, that's, you know, I gotta throw the second podcaster, you know, co-host of the year. I gotta throw him that recognition. So yeah, I'm the number one, of course. So you know,
nice.
we forgot to put that on the ballad. So you know, to all our followers, you know, sorry guys, I know you guys really wanted to vote on that, but it was just by default I was number one. So it's perfectly fine.
That hurts.
Hey, George, just let me know when you're done.
Hold on. I got a minute left. So go for it. No, I'm just kidding.
Give me an extra minute.
I'm done. Well, that's the kind of stuff that I know that people who have followed us have come to enjoy. We have a lot of fun doing this stuff, and it was a lot of fun putting together this list of six categories. And who knows what the future will hold in terms of this particular you know, venture that we're in right now with these awards, but it's our way of sort of putting our mark on, you know, recognizing what we thought to be important teams, important people, important matches. And so as we begin our discussion on the results of this year's categories, it's important to understand that this wasn't just us. We, the three of us, were responsible for the nominees. We sat down and we talked through in great detail, you know, who we were going to nominate. And, of course, then we left it to our friends, the WrestleManiacs, to vote through our survey process. And then we posted a public vote earlier this week to get votes on the categories. And so tonight we're going to be recognizing, not particularly in this order, but the six categories that we will recognize this year. Excuse me, will be match of the year. And we'll break down each of these individually before we get to the results in terms of the nominees. Biggest turnaround, which is the category in which we, well, I'll tell you what, when we get to it, we'll explain it in a little detail and then we'll go from there. Most underrated is the third category that we will look at. Tag team of the year. And then we also have most outstanding wrestler, which is about ring work. And finally, we have Wrestler of the Year. And so those are the six categories that we put together for this year's inaugural 3DOD End of Year Awards, the three DODs, I think is what we'll call these. Maybe not.
I like it.
So the Dodies.
Yes.
And so so I think we'll go ahead, guys, and I'm suggesting that we start with Biggest Turnaround. This category is our thoughts on who had the biggest turnaround, either good or bad, up or down, based on what they did or were asked to do this year. And, you know, who is it that had the biggest turnaround in terms of their fortune or their not so fortunate place that they ended up? The nominees for 2019's biggest turnaround were R-Truth, Roman Reigns, Nikki Cross, Kenny Omega, Dean Ambrose / John Moxley, same person, and the Fiend, Bray Wyatt. oh my goodness, I need glasses that are stronger than the ones I have. The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. So, gentlemen, before we reveal the winner, let's talk a little bit about this category and, you know, what your thoughts were initially as we put this together.
I like the addition of Nikki Cross, I think, the best. She continues to kind of be on a streak where even though Alexa Bliss has always been kind of the higher tier A-lister, Nikki Cross has just been busting her butt in the ring and really making a name for herself. And that's been one of the ones I've been happy about the most, because really after NXT Sanity, the stable that she was a part of with Eric Young and there goes my memory.
Alexander Wolf.
What's the guy Killian who's fighting Dane. Riddle? Yeah, Killian Dane.
Killian Dane. Yeah.
Who is her husband, I think, right? after their disbanding, moving to the main roster, I was worried about all those guys. And pretty much the only ones they're using right now are Cross and Dane. Well, no, I guess Wolf's part of the Imperium. But poor Young has kind of disappeared. But Nikki Cross, I think, out of all of them has really made the most noise, and she's done a great job of it because it's been on that main roster, which I think is really the hardest to do because people get, they go to the main roster a lot of times, they get buried, and she has shined in that role and continues to do it. So yeah, it was a fun list. It was sad to put Kenny Omega on there as a down. And who could doubt the turnaround, the reintroduction, the Fiend Bray Wyatt got his groove back this year, which was so amazing that it still, even the match at TLC was bad. I love the storytelling that's going on right there. And I can't wait to see what happens next with my homie Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt and the Fiend.
Yeah. Before we get to George, I just want to, I think it bears mentioning based on what you just said, Vic, that we clarify that for the nominees, Roman Reigns, we said the turnaround was in an up direction, that it went in a favorable way. The same with R-Truth and Nikki Cross. Kenny Omega was, in our opinion, a big turnaround in the downward slope because of his usage in AEW and other factors. Dean Ambrose / John Moxley, we're just going to call him John Moxley now, it was a very big up turn in terms of his fortunes. And then the Fiend Bray Wyatt we listed as an up turnaround. So just wanted to clarify that, George, as we continue this discussion.
Yeah, and I think, kind of with us, the responsibility is kind of more of, all right, you know, we got to be fair to the whole industry. You know, when you think about the biggest turnaround, a turnaround is going in the opposite direction. So not only do we want to talk about the good, but we want to talk about the stuff that's kind of questionable. You know, I'm sure that there's a lot of guys that we could have listed as the down area, but when we were putting it together, you know, we were kind of just listing the guys, and I was like, no, we got to bring up Kenny Omega because this guy was, you know, former IWGP champion, former United States or North American champion is, an IW, what is it, an IWGP? You know,
yes.
He's had his reign, you know, he's done a little bit with the Ring of Honor, done a lot with indies, but it wasn't until, you know, with AEW where we saw that he slowed down. But, you know, that's just something I really wanted to bring up to you guys. And that's just, it's one of those where we got to really be open-minded about it because, you know, like the wrestling industry, you know, with the wrestling industry, it's ups and downs. But, you know, it's not to say that they're going to be staying in that direction. Obviously, look at The Fiend. The Fiend had a phenomenal year, or mid-year, kind of just came out of nowhere. John Moxley got buried at the beginning of the year, picked up when he was exiting WWE. He came back, you know, was with AEW, and he's kind of like he is their star. And then Roman Reigns with his whole battle. I don't care who you are. You know, that was a very sensitive subject and a very touching moment.
Sure.
When he came back, and it's one of those where that was one of those turnarounds where it wasn't necessarily about the athleticism. It wasn't about the wrestling. It wasn't about the storyline. It was about the person as a whole. And to me, that deserves recognition. You know, we agreed that deserved recognition in its own. And then, yeah, it was just, you know, this was a really good, this was, you know, this one was a very good award because it showed it from different perspectives, it allowed us to be, you know, creative in the sense. But yeah,
sure.
It's a good subject or a good award.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it just showed also how much attention we're paying to the industry because we're able to talk through a lot of these people and how their year has gone. So without further ado, we're about to give our first end-of-year award for 2019 here at the Three Dudes of Doom for Biggest Turnaround. And guys, I'm going to share with you who came in second first. With 30% of the votes, second runner-up, or I guess first runner-up in the Biggest Turnaround category was R-Truth. There were those who felt like his turnaround and the 24/7 title guys really did it for him. He's always been a workhorse. He's been reliable. He does what he's asked to do, and he does it well. He always amps up. anything he's asked to do. And I think I said to you guys that I was not a fan of the 24/7 title when it first came out. He made me a fan of the 24/7 title, and yep. I follow closely.
He is proof of concept that comedy works in wrestling. I mean, bottom line.
Because that's not to say it wasn't a legitimate belt, but he really has made that thing something worth following. So big thanks to R-Truth for all the work he's done, but did come in second at 30%. So with the winner of the biggest turnaround for 2019, 40% of the votes went to, anybody want to do a drum roll? That was a weird drum roll, but I'll take it. With 40% of the vote, biggest turnaround of 2019, The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, comes in as the winner on the 3 Dudes of Doom End of Year Awards. And I think it's, you know, we talked a lot about it. He has really run with The Fiend character. He's kept Bray Wyatt as part of the mix. And frankly, watching him this past weekend wrestle as Bray Wyatt, he's got so much talent, and I really appreciate that people felt like he really did a lot to turn himself around this year.
It was really interesting to see that they went that the route that they did this weekend with him being Bray Wyatt instead of The Fiend. That adds a whole other element to this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That now we know he can be Bray Wyatt and he could be The Fiend. Either one of those can show up in the ring. Like I said, I'm so excited with what's going to happen. It was documented, obviously, on one of our recent podcasts that I thought his last match with Daniel Bryan at Survivor Series was going to be the blow-off, and we were looking at some kind of possible retirement angle with Daniel Bryan. Boy, was I wrong. And I could not be more into what's going on between him and Daniel Bryan right now. But yeah, the whole Fiend thing starting, you know, I think it was before WrestleMania, early April, when we started seeing those vignettes with like the Mercy the Buzzard. We didn't know who Mercy the Buzzard was at that point, but I was kind of initially when I saw that, I was like, this is awful. This is not going to work. And we kept on getting it. I think we got one with Abby the Witch. And then finally we started getting the Firefly Funhouse segments, and they were just so creepy, weird, cheesy, fun. You couldn't help but, you know, not take your eyes away from the screen. And then that first time that we saw The Fiend, and he came out in with the new music. It was still that fantastic Bray Wyatt theme, Broken Out of Love. But, you know, ratcheted up to 11. He comes out with the lamp that's, you know, like Bray Wyatt's head, designed by Tom Savini, of all people, which made me geek out huge because I'm a big horror nerd too. You know, as we come into the end of the year, he is the champion. So, I mean, who could be voted as a bigger turnaround than that? Coming basically back from a super long injury to creating this whole new persona that is so multifaceted, and then grabbing that title. I picked a few others on this list too, but it's a great decision by the WrestleMania. Go WrestleManiacs!
Indeed. All right. So that brings us to our second category of the night. And I'm going to ask you guys to chime in and talk about how you would define this category. The category is most underrated. And so let's talk a little bit. George, we'll start with you, and then Vicky, you'll also share your thoughts. How would you explain this category to our fans?
I think this is one of those where we know they have the talent, we like to see them, but they're not being seen, if that makes any sense. It's one of those where we, you know, over the years, you know, we've developed our favorites, our not so favorites, our Brock Lesnars, And it's one of those where and it's one of those where we've just been able to naturally say this person's awesome, this person's not. When we were deciding this category, it was one of those where this person, you know, this person is awesome, and we would like them to get a championship run. We want to see them at the top of the card. We don't want to just see them in the kickoff shows, not the pre-shows, but the kickoff shows. We don't want to see them there. We want to see them in the main events. Yeah. And it's one of those where it's called the kickoff show. It's the kickoff show. See,
it's the pre-show.
I would like
it's not the kickoff
show as the most
show.
Underrated as the most underrated on this talent. No. But yeah, it's just one of those where these guys and women, men and women, stand out to us, but we don't see a lot of them. In our opinion, these are the ones that, you know, if we had the opportunity, we would put them at the top of the card.
Okay. Vic, anything you would add?
I mean, George hit the nail on the head. These are the folks who are, you know, who are busting their butts and just for some reason aren't, you know, getting the appropriate representation, I guess, on television sometimes. And, you know, that could be, you know, just that they're waiting for the right moment. It may be their place in the company. You know, maybe they don't want to be, you know, the top star, but they still want to be wrestlers and they still, you know, want to be part of the business. That's one thing I kind of have to be careful about when like trying to getting all bent out of shape, like, oh, you know, Andrade is still sitting in the mid card. Why is that? And maybe he wants to be in the mid card, you know, there's
right.
nothing wrong with that. You know, not everybody has to be The Rock.
Right. Well, with that, our nominees for the most underrated category for the 2019 Three Dudes of Doom End of Year Awards are Sarah Logan, Baron Corbin, Sonya Deville, Buddy Murphy, Andrade, and Sean Spears. Once again, I'll start with who came in second and then reveal this year's winner. With 30% of the vote, Andrade comes in second in most underrated. And again, great talent, and yet,
absolutely.
As you mentioned, Vic, you know, mid card at best throughout the entirety of this year, it seems. So we hope to see more from him. We hope to see more from all of these talented individuals. Now, I would say Baron Corbin kind of snuck in there at the end of the year. He kind of started moving through the card a bit higher. Obviously, he took on Roman Reigns this past weekend in the main event. And so, you know, we're seeing some movement there, and that was my entry. He's talented. You guys know a year ago I was saying that I couldn't stand the guy, but now I'm a big fan. But let's get to the winner for most underrated with 40% of the vote. Buddy Murphy comes in as the winner for most underrated. So let's talk. Who was that? Yes. Who just went yes?
It's the best. He's the best kept secret. That is his moniker. That is his gimmick. You know, I'm going to take over right now because
you're happy, George.
Yeah, I'm legit happy because you know, look at the match that he had with Aleister Black this past Sunday. That was, in my opinion, the match of the night.
Yep.
That one had the biggest response, and I forgot what poll it was on. It was either WWE or another wrestling site, but that one had the biggest must-watch match of the night. So that goes to show you, Buddy Murphy, former Cruiserweight champion. I want to say he was NXT champion or NXT Tag Team champion, but he doesn't have a lot of list of accolades. Aleister Black, still new around WWE, you know, former NXT champion, but he hasn't been consistent with it. So it's one of those where he's kind of still fresh, where not everybody knows him, but they had the absolute match of the night. And this isn't the first time we've seen Buddy Murphy. He had that match months ago with Roman Reigns, the match months ago with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah,
which
they were
those
pushing.
Matches, yeah, those matches stole the, you know, those stole the respected shows. You know, and especially the fact that, you know, you have two top tier wrestlers like those two guys. And yeah, like that was my pick going in. And I will say that that was definitely my pick. Y'all agreed with me, of course. you know, yeah, like I really want to see more of him just cause it's like the guy has the look, he has the moveset. You know, you pair him up with a great manager or, you know, let him speak or learn to practice to speak. And I think he's going to be, you know, he'd be the perfect talent, you know, he would be, and I would say he'd be the WWE's version of, and I'm going to stick by this saying, he'd be the WWE's version of Kenny Omega. You know, he just has to refine a couple more things.
Yeah. Vic, your thoughts?
I mean, George hit it on the head. Every time he has a match, they steal the show.
Yeah.
And he was getting a push. It's just like it stalled completely. Those matches with Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan were incredible. And, you know, he's really only held the Cruiserweight and the NXT Tag Team Championship since he's been with the WWE. And, you know, he should be in the running for, like, the USA champion at this point. But, again, everything that George says is correct. His match at TLC with Aleister Black, fantastic. Hopefully that feud will continue. I don't know if that was the blow-off, but I would definitely look forward to seeing those two guys in the ring again.
No, absolutely. I have to agree that I hope to see more of him as time goes on, because he definitely is rising to the occasion and doing what needs to be done to stand out. So once again, Buddy Murphy picks up the award for most underrated, and hopefully we will continue to see his fortunes rise in 2020. All right, gentlemen, people should know that we're actually, you know, this being an important night with these awards, we're actually in tuxedos, if I'm not mistaken, right? All of us?
Yeah. Drinking champagne, popping bottles, tuxedos.
A little bit of the bubbly.
We're eating caviar, but, you know, my caviar is really hot Cheetos and cream cheese.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
So we're pretentious is what you're saying. So.
Yeah, but we're still wearing a tuxedo.
That's
I'm
right.
Wearing a scarf.
A scarf, there you go. I like it. And the letters GOAT on the back of your slacks, is that correct?
Always.
Always.
Always. They call
all
me
right,
Black.
Very good. Yeah. All right, so I think what we'll do now is we'll go to the category that we called Most Outstanding Wrestler. We wanted there to be a category where we could make sure that we honored ring work. And this is not to take anything away from anybody in the industry that we follow or that we see and enjoy. But this is there's something to be said for people who, you know, can bring it in the ring every single time. And I think it's fair to say that we're not in any way being critical of the fact that sometimes you have people who are great on the mic, who are great at, you know, moving programs forward and so forth. But then the ring work is, you know, not something that we sit there and get wowed with, but it's consistent and it works. These are talents that we say when it comes to the ring work, they do a fantastic job. And the category nominees, I think, also do a good job for the most part in other aspects of the business, which is mic work, you know, ability to be compelling to the audience and their storylines and so forth. So the nominees for Most Outstanding Wrestler Ring Work are Velveteen Dream, Ricochet, Bayley, Johnny Gargano, Io Shirai, and Riho. So before we get to the winners, guys, a few thoughts on those talents and why they ended up on that list, and your thoughts on the importance of this category to us here at the Three Dudes of Doom.
Well, I mean, I feel like the names speak for themselves. All these men and women are phenomenal in the ring. The heights that Io Shirai goes to entertain a crowd are horrifying. Like, yeah. I can't imagine jumping off anything and landing on somebody going that high in the air. Velveteen Dream goes all night long, and the guy is entertaining at the same time too. That's another thing we have to take it into consideration in this. It's not just the physicality, the athleticism. It's also the way they sell the moves that are being done to them. That's the that's the thing I think a lot of people forget a lot of the times with wrestling. It's not just about them, you know, looking cool, beating somebody up. It's about them looking real while getting beat up. And I mean, reading off the list, I mean, Ricochet's on there. Riho introduced me to Joshi Wrestling, which is incredible. She goes a million miles an hour. Of course, I'm not going to talk about Bailey too much because I think we beat Sergio over the head at the Mexican restaurant with Bailey, but she is, you know, such a great talent since, you know, even since her NXT days. So yeah, it's when voting for me on this one, honestly, it was really hard because you guys know how much I love Bailey, but any of these other people, I could vote above her in a heartbeat. But sure, you know, trying to decide on just one is so difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we were coming up with a list, one of the things that I kept on thinking about was, you know, the whole term best wrestler. And, you know, not to talk about something we might talk about in a future episode, but we talked about the term wrestler in the last bajillion years of wrestling, and just the art of it. And it's one of those, one of the things that, you know, we definitely brought up was, you know, when these people, you know, when every single one of these superstars were having a match, did they gel with every single person they were in the ring with, or were they, you know, somebody that picked up the weight for the wrestler? Was it, did they not only make the other person shine just in the same way that they would stand out? You know, there was a lot of little factors, but you know, that's where Bailey, I had to put Bailey in that list because I love Bailey. And the fact that she is my favorite wrestler.
This is getting weird.
Yeah, you know.
Sorry.
We're on the podcast. My bad. Sorry.
Take your hands out of your pants.
But yeah, no. The it was just one of those. Like, I think the biggest factor for me was, you know, Were they able to gel with every single person? I think that's what definitely defines them as a wrestler. You know, you look at all the greats. You look at The Rock. You look at Stone Cold. You look at Chris Jericho. You look at, you know, even guys like Andre the Giant or The Big Show, where, you know, they've all had matches. Sometimes they would be, you know, sometimes they would be great and they'd be legendary. And then there's other ones where you would just see that the mismatch and the type of wrestler, you know? And it's just one of those where these guys for this year, these six for this year stood out enough where, you know, they had the great matches this year.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great list. And it's a list of, excuse me, it's a list of talent that we know we will see more of in the future and that we know can carry a program and make it very entertaining. So once again, the nominees that we put out for most outstanding wrestling ring work were Velveteen Dream, Ricochet, Bailey, Johnny Gargano, Io Shirai, and Riho. In second place, listen to this, guys. I want to hear your reaction. In second place with 20% of the votes. What does that tell you about who came in first?
Wow.
Is Ricochet. Ricochet came in second, and great talent, fantastic work, and
absolutely,
just a ball of fire in the ring, and so much fun to watch. I always enjoy watching him wrestle. So, you know, this list could have gone anyway. But our winner for Most Outstanding Wrestler Ring Work for the Three Dudes of Doom End of Year Awards 2019 with 60% of the vote, Johnny Gargano is our winner.
Yeah. All right. It's a great choice, guys. Great choice. and he definitely deserves it. Johnny Takeover was his newest moniker this year, and
yeah.
I think he took over Wrestler of the Year.
Vic Vespa, are you soaking in the moment?
I'm a little teary-eyed right now. I was actually trying to pull up his theme music so I could play it before I commented, because, oh, my goodness. Of course I love Johnny Gargano. It was weird. During my research for this, for Match of the Year, I went back and watched them all, but I went back and watched that New York takeover with mm-hmm. him versus Cole. And oh man, I pardon me is really selfish, but I really want that match to win now. we'll see what happens. But yeah, that guy, just in that match alone, watching him and Adam Cole put on a classic, a straight up classic. They started with just standard mat wrestling, matching each other, you know, move for move, going in and out of submission holds, you know, and that match, I should have looked up how long it went. I can't remember how long it went, but it had to have gone at least a half an hour. And by the end of that, when he had him in the Gargano Escape, the crowd was like pot, like they had been going insane pretty much the entire match. There were a few points where it got a little bit quiet, but the crowd was pretty much like screaming the entire time, and it just ratcheted up at that point. And when he, you know, got his arm raised, the crowd was going crazy. I know it was Cleveland, but that was the even weirder thing about, and I shouldn't be talking about this because we got, it may win match of the year. Anyways, yeah, Johnny Gargano, Johnny NXT, Johnny Takeover. I can't wait till he is back wrestling again. I want to see him work with some of the guys who are out there now. I want to see some Keith Lee action. Dominic Dijakovic, that would be an interesting thing to see if he could cut that big tree down. Definitely looking forward to more work, and definitely well-earned for that big margin of votes. So, yeah, Johnny.
Yeah, definitely a talent that we continue to see, you know, grow in terms of his work. And I mean, he's been around and he's got – you know, so much to offer wherever he's at. And I love the fact that he continues his journey in NXT. He gives that brand such a boost that, you know, I would hate to think that he would at some point. I mean, we always want to see them succeed at every level, but NXT has gone so high now that putting him on Raw or SmackDown, I think, I don't know. I don't want him to get lost in that shuffle. I want him to continue to build NXT into even bigger things. So Johnny Gargano, picks up most outstanding wrestler ring work here at Three Dudes of Doom. So thank you guys for the commentary on that. And thank you, Johnny Gargano, for all the memories, especially this year. And well, man, he's had two really good years in a row. So I expect even greater things in 2020. So, all right, three categories left here on the...
Sorry, I thought we could use the same.
I love it. All right, so we are three categories in, which means we are 50% of the way through this year's awards. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment and set up the next award because we don't have commercials. So for the next category, let me do it this way. This is what we have remaining. We have Match of the Year. We have Tag Team of the Year, and then we have Wrestler of the Year. So we're going to go with Tag Team of the Year, and that will be our next category, as we discuss some of the greatest tag teams of this year that really, really entertained us and really did some fantastic things within the business. Our nominees for Tag Team of the Year 2019 here on the Three Dudes of Doom, the Viking Raiders, the Young Bucks, Lucha Bros, the Boss and Hug Connection, so Bailey making her second appearance on a nominee list tonight, LAX / Santana and Ortiz, and The Revival are our six nominees. George, start us off, and then Vic, if you would, chime in as well. Let's talk a little bit about why these six were chosen for Tag Team of the Year nominees.
You look at the tag team division as a whole, it wasn't until, I would safely say the last 2 years, the tag team division has definitely risen up. You know, you got teams like The Revival, which, you know, main tag team of, you know, as many years that they've been with, going as far back as NXT, to, you know, the Young Bucks, which the Young Bucks, you know, dominated the indies. They've been with, you know, they've been with the main ones like TNA Wrestling, Ring of Honor. And it's one of those where when we were kind of coming up with this list, these tag teams are not the tag teams that were just put together. These tag teams were legit tag teams where, you know, if we wanted to, and don't hate me too much, but, you know, we can kind of compare them to the, you know, the way that they gelled, like the Dudley Boys, the Hardys, the Legion of Doom, where, you know, we can define them as real tag teams. So yeah, this list is definitely one of those lists where it's like every single one of those teams you want to vote for. I even looked at it, and when we were putting it together at the restaurant, I was just like, man, I want the Boston Hug to win, but I also want the Revival to win, but I also want the Young Bucks to win. Oh, but we're not even talking about the Rock and Roll Express. So it's one of those where it's like, we were just listing tag teams. We're like, oh, but what if we talk about a couple years ago? Can we talk about these tag teams? But yeah, this one was one of those harder ones, because we legitimately thought each one of these tag teams deserved that award.
Well, I was expecting to have a little bit more AEW representation on this list, because that was their whole idea when they started the program, is to really feature tag team wrestling. I think we may have made a conscious decision not to like oversaturate the lists with one specific product or the other, but there's so many great ones on here. I've been a fan of The Revival since, you know, they showed up at NXT. They're wonderful. Of course, my love for Sasha Banks and Bayley has been well documented on this podcast. Lucha Brothers, first tag team champions of All Elite Wrestling. LAX facing the Lucha Brothers back in January. Foreshadowing their journey into AEW to once again take on Lucha Brothers. But I mean, seriously, good for LAX / Santana Ortiz. They, you know, made big noise and impact, and they moved on to AEW, and they're continuing to increase that noise. The Young Bucks, you know, they're the ones who really pushed in AEW to make tag teams a big thing, though they haven't necessarily succeeded much in AEW as a tag team. Not that they're doing bad, but I mean, there's probably a reason they didn't want to be like, hey, we're going to be the first tag team champion. Because obviously, you know, you don't want to be like, hey, this is our company, so we're just going to take the belts. That's okay. But doing something like that, I think is a very smart thing to do, business-wise. And of course the Viking Raiders, even though they didn't have that great of a showing at TLC, that whole debacle was pretty awful. Still, I don't hold it against them. Those guys are maniacs in the ring. And they do some things that men of their size probably shouldn't do. So yeah. I could see voting for any of these folks, honestly.
Indeed. Well, votes are in, and again, as before, we'll start with second place. With 60% of the vote for second place, because
wow,
they each got 20% of the vote. So we have three teams tied, 20% each. There's your 60%. So tying in votes, the Young Bucks, Lucha Bros, and The Revival all tied for second place within this category. Yeah. And again, all of these teams very, very talented and really exciting to watch. But our winner for Tag Team of the Year here at the Three Dudes of Doom End of Year Awards 2019 with 40% of the vote, the Viking Raiders.
Are we talking Viking Raiders, War Raiders, the Viking Experience? War, what was the other team? What was their Ring of Honor name? War Machine? Was it War Machine? No. Yeah, whatever. They go by many names, but they're the same two guys. They just got started. I personally knew they were going to win. You know, I wasn't scared one bit in leaving the voters' hands one bit, you know, because, you know, yeah, I wasn't scared one bit. But, you know, they won Survivor Series in the three brands. Like I mentioned, former Ring of Honor champions. You knew they were going to make an impact just the moment that they were showed up in, what is it, one of those NXT takeovers. So rightfully deserved. I think they're going to definitely be a long stay with WWE, and their popularity is going to keep on getting bigger and bigger at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, their ascension was just so fast. I mean, they were with Ring of Honor since, I think, 2014. So it took them a while, to, I think, maybe get on WWE's radar. But I mean, again, from that time, you know, from 2018, pretty much, they've moved up to where, you know, they're already tag team champions on the Raw brand after being, you know, NXT champions, NXT tag team champions in NXT. Within, I guess, 2018, I think they started at the beginning of the year. So pretty much 2 years at this point, it's taken them to rise the ranks all the way to WWE Raw Tag Team Champions. That's a pretty big accomplishment. Hopefully last night was a fluke. I know I gave them a little bit of the business. I don't mean to. I'm a big fan of the Viking. Well, I was a fan of, I don't know why they couldn't just keep, well, Ring of Honor probably owned the name. I don't know why they couldn't keep War Machine. That was an amazing name. Well, it was probably the Marvel thing, actually. I bet you that was the problem with that. But yeah, I'm just glad they're not the Viking Experience now. That was
right.
An awful idea. Whoever came up with that idea, I hope they were given a stern warning about coming up with any other ideas like that going forward. But yeah, hope nothing but the best for these guys as they continue to break through the glass ceilings of wrestlings.
Indeed. I think to your point earlier about what they do in the ring, that is, you know, for guys their size is sometimes so unexpected. They're just fun to watch. And I think they're just, you know, as long as they've been around, they're just the beginning of this phase of their work, and we're going to see some great things going forward from the Viking Raiders. This year's Tag Team of the Year here at Three Dudes of Doom End of Year Awards 2019 edition, which brings us to the penultimate category of this year's awards, and that is going to be Match of the Year. Now, Match of the Year is full of quite a few matches. It was a pretty long discussion, I remember, that we had over these six nominations, because it's been a year that's been full of great matches. And so with these six, I'm just going to go ahead and call them out, and then we'll take some time to discuss why they're on this list and just a few thoughts of our own of, you know, why we thought they needed to be looked at and considered. From AEW's Double or Nothing, Cody Rhodes versus Dustin Rhodes. That was an absolutely brutal match. One that when I finally caught it, I was just floored by how hard these two worked and the story that they told. From NXT TakeOver New York, Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano. We'll wait till our discussion, but there's a lot to be said about that match and why we loved it so much. The Elimination Chamber 2019, Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston versus AJ Styles versus Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton versus Samoa Joe, in what turned out to be the moment for Kofi Kingston that launched him forward into the rest of the work he did this year, which we'll talk about here in a bit. The WrestleMania main event, the Women's Championship, Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch. And guys, I remembered the phrase finally. They kept saying over and over, winner takes all. And so that became the call phrase for that match. Our fifth nominee in the match of the year category is Cody Rhodes versus Chris Jericho from AEW Full Gear. Another great match that was worthy of consideration. And from NXT TakeOver Toronto, rounding out the field of match of the year nominees, Io Shirai versus Candice LeRae in what was another fantastic match with some very talented performers. So guys, when looking at these matches in hindsight, these are the kinds of matches that we love to watch, but that we also, I think, feel will stand the test of time. People will be watching these matches years from now and understanding that in those moments, history was made or greatness was shown. And so talk a little bit about, Vic, we'll start with you, you know, why these matches were so important to this year. And then, George, if you'll throw in your thoughts as well. And really, Vic, start wherever you want on the list.
I think each match kind of has its own imprint as to why it's special. It's not all, oh man, they, you know, did all these crazy moves and,
right.
You know, like Cody versus Dustin, it was very slow paced and it was very old school, but man, the crowd, there was so much emotion there. It wasn't like emotion, like, you know, screaming. And yeah, it was like people were physically, like, emotionally almost hurt at some point, you know,
sure.
Especially when Dustin started losing all that blood. NXT TakeOver, I know I talked about that earlier, but God, that match, I can't even, if that one wins, I'll go into it more. I think the Elimination Chamber and the women's WrestleMania matches are on there for important reasons, not necessarily because the match was, you know, something that's going to burn the house down in the long run,
mm-hmm.
but it was a big deal as far as moments go. The first women's WrestleMania main event, elevating Kofi to finally be on the road to pick up that WWE championship that he
right.
so deserved. And oh, that the ending of that match, I should not be talking about the match specifically. Cody versus Jericho, again, like the two before that, it's about the moment, the crowning of the AEW heavyweight championship. And then I think Io Shirai and Candice LeRae, a lot of drama to that match. I think it kind of skirts the line between like a Cody and a Dustin and an NXT TakeOver. The work rate was so high, but the drama of the match and what those two brought to the emotion of the match was so heightened. And great job to everybody on that list, like they needed from us. But that's kind of my thoughts about the whole list.
Yeah, so definitely, like you, I think the biggest key factor and the biggest similarity that all these matches have is all these matches had a turning point, and all of their all the people that in the respective matches careers, you know, they were at this point they were going to keep on, you know, gaining momentum, or they were going to lose momentum. You know, you look at just something as simple as Io Shirai and you know, Io Shirai and Candice LeRae, that match literally, you know, brought more relevance to Io Shirai. Candice LeRae, we knew her from through, you know, we knew that was Johnny Gargano's wife, but we didn't know who Candice LeRae was unless you watched indies and you were famous, you know, you were familiar with her matches. But then you look at just the storytelling behind matches like Cody Rhodes and Chris Jericho were the biggest, to me, that is the biggest stipulation that they've had in wrestling this past year. And that was, and for AEW to only be, a couple months old, the biggest stipulation was if Cody doesn't win this match, he's not going to get another world title shot in the future. So what does that tell you? That's like, you guys do it's like AEW, you guys do know that you just started this promotion, right? So they had that big stipulation for wrestling. What is it for just the wrestling portion? Adam Cole joining Gargano, that was, you know, every single takeover has always had match of the night. If not, they were pretty much the pay-per-views of the weekend, you know. That match stole the show. And then going back to the storyline, the Cody Rhodes, Dustin Rhodes, you know, the whole video package. I remember seeing it because they had a couple different video packages. It was pretty serious. You legitimately felt like, oh my God, are these guys like really heated with each other? Like, do they really despise each other? But that's how good these guys were. They had a great video package. They had a great story build up, and they pretty much tore it up in the ring. Everything till the end of the match where they're embraced. It's just, it was like every single one of these matches had that special feeling. The women's match, you know, it was pretty much, it was the build up. And as you say, the winner takes all. That's how it felt at the end of the night, was literally, this is where the women stood up. This is where the women's division was going to move. Winner was going to take all, the winner being all of us, because this was a great main event.
Yeah. Every match I look at here, again, to the points that have been made already, is they have pivotal moments. The one that for me stands out is Kofi Kingston's rise to the WWE Championship. I mean, the fact that he, you know, he's in this match, the Elimination Chamber match, and I don't think any of this was intended. I mean, yeah, it's all, you know, booked a certain way, and yes, he would be in the final two, but he just turned it up to such a point that it was such an impactful response from the audience that you couldn't deny that he needed to go on this journey. And you know, its culmination at WrestleMania with him winning the title was just, it was one of those rare moments when we get a perfect storyline. And when I mean perfect, I mean we get what we think should happen. We don't always, you know, get what we want, and we shouldn't always get what we want, but it made logical sense. This is one of those rare storylines that from beginning to end, as much as it went through twists and turns, it could not end with him not winning the title. And that's not to say that they just handed it to him. He earned it, and he earned it with his work. He earned it with his history of hard work. With everything he's done, if you think back to when he first debuted and you know, everything that was his gimmick back then to where it's evolved through to now, the one thing that remains consistent about a Kofi Kingston is that his work is always, always on point when it comes to not just ring work, but also mic work and so forth. So that match was, you know, not the biggest in terms of, you know, great matches. It's not going to win any Match of the Year awards, you know, on the big, you know, the big media pieces that we mentioned earlier, but it stands out because Kofi, we got a wonderful story out of it. And it, you know, it, I'm not saying it was a bad match. It was a good match. I loved rewatching it again and really enjoyed it. Again, George, you put a nail in the, you know, hit the nail on the head with the WrestleMania main event. It was a pivotal moment for the women that was a long time coming. And it was, you know, we can talk about how the match played out and the fact that it ended the way it did, but the fact that it happened the way it did, that it was the main event, was for me so critically important. So having said all that, once again, we'll start with the second place runner up in the Match of the Year category here at the end of your awards here at the Three Dudes of Doom. 30% of the votes from AEW Double or Nothing, Cody Rhodes versus Dustin Rhodes, is nice. Second place in our voting.
Nice.
And Match of the Year, Three Dudes of Doom style, 2019, with 50% of the vote. Vic, wow. Vespa, get ready to get into it more, because Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano, NXT TakeOver New York, is our winner.
Oh, my heart. Can I clap? I'm going to clap. Well done, Maniacs. Well done. No, I could have voted for any of those matches. I got to watch them all again.
And they're all fantastic. But this match, if you haven't watched it yet, you have to. The odd thing about it is it wasn't it wasn't New York, sorry. Why I said Cleveland. Johnny Gargano comes out in an Iron Man costume to kind of a tepid response. He still got his Johnny Wrestling chance, but when Adam Cole Bebe came out, that place came unglued. Now, towards the end of the match, it would change to where all you heard was Adam Cole, Johnny Wrestling, Adam Cole, Johnny Wrestling. Like half the match, that's all you heard. And it was pretty much equal the entire time. Cole had just won a Fatal 5-Way, I think, to actually even get a chance to be involved with the match. And another thing that ratcheted up the emotion of this match even further, and we'll get there when we get to the end of the match, is that this match was for Tommaso Ciampa's vacated NXT title. So there was a lot on the line for this. Johnny Wrestling was fighting for his former tag team, former foe, former friends championship for Goldie. Like I said before, I've talked about it. You know, they did all kinds of mat wrestling. They were sliding in and out, you know, and they didn't. Another great thing about this match when I was watching it is the only time they really did anything with any tables or ladders or chairs or any kind of weaponry, anything they didn't, anytime they did anything outside of wrestling in particular was towards the very end of the match. Adam Cole tried to put Johnny Gargano through the announce table. The announce table did not break. And it looked horrifying because it was I'm trying to think of how I can describe this, but basically the move was like he was putting him into a pedigree and then he lifted him up so that like Johnny Gargano's face was facing away from Adam Cole and his legs were up in the air. And basically he just dropped him forward, his full body onto the table, and it just went and that table didn't move. I know they, or from what I understand of the business, they call when they kind of make things a little bit funky to kind of make a break or not hurt as much. They call it gimmicking. And I don't know if someone didn't gimmick the table or if like sometimes that just doesn't work. But in this case, it didn't work and it looked horrifying. But still, the match probably went on for a good other 10 minutes after that. NXT crowd is always going to be in fuego. Especially for these two guys. There was some turnbuckle shots to the outside to Gargano that were absolutely brutal. First one was basically spine first, and then he took a second one straight, you know, face-wise. You could see him kind of put his hands up at the last minute, but he took a good brunt of that. I'm going on a long time, but I don't want to stop talking about this match. The other thing, though, I did want to add is that a certain Heartbreak Kid had recently joined the NXT brand to kind of be a mentor to folks shortly before this match. And he gets a shout out in this match. I'm not saying that's why this match is super good as it is, but I think that's one of the reasons why NXT just continues and continues to elevate, because they make good, good steps like that. And they're going to continue to have matches that show up on award shows. You mark my words. y'all can talk now.
I thank you for your permission to talk. When we put the list together, we try to get it from all viewpoints, and the biggest contributing factor for this is those two guys. They potentially are the wrestler of the year. They both of them are equally. And, you know, with Adam Cole being who he was, and just, you know, look at last month and how much he terrorized, uh, how much he terrorized all rosters, SmackDown, Raw, NXT, and the fact that he pretty much, you know, he was on every single show. He was having matches with every single top talent. Just to have a ladder match with Dojokovic. Did I say his name right?
Dominic Dijakovic.
Yes, Dominic.
Dijakovic.
Dijakovic. Just to have that ladder match, to have War Games, to have the and just to have the War Games. It's just, and then the Survivor Series match with the Bruiserweight. Yeah, the
You know, that match stole. That match stole that show.
That, yeah, but yeah. The both of the guys, they had their moments. I think definitely that match showed what kind of wrestlers they were even more, and it gave us that strong arguing factor that they are future Hall of Famers, that they are future main event players. You know, and if you don't believe that, he is Adam Cole, baby. So boom. Oh.
Well, and there was a lot of other cool things in the match too that kind of gave a shout out to the previous champion, Tommaso Ciampa. At one point, Johnny Gargano did that move that Ciampa did to Adam Cole from the top of the cage, but he did it from the top turnbuckle, that avalanche air raid crash. So it's cool to see, you know, them kind of taking it that route. Also, that ending. Can we talk about the ending? Candice LeRae, obviously his wife, everybody knows it at that point, comes out to the mat, to the ring, the squared circle, to congratulate her husband and, you know, to walk him out in the back. They share an embrace. Obviously, that's wonderful. You know, the emotion ratchets up a little bit there. They get to the top of the ramp. And here comes, recently out of neck surgery, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano's best friend, tag teammate, best enemy. And, you know, the last time we, well, not the last time we saw that, but, you know, the big moment with them was when Tommaso Ciampa turned on Johnny Gargano after they lost for the NXT title so long ago. And to see them embrace at the top of the ramp, and all three of them, you know, raise his hand. That was, you know, a very emotional moment. And they, you know, they found the perfect way to really end that match when they had the Undisputed Era come in and attack Johnny Gargano. You know, we get the ref bump, we get the double team by O'Reilly and Fish. We get the double team by O'Reilly and Fish on Gargano. But of course, when they throw the ref in there, like they're going to win because they just pulled a fast one, Johnny kicks out. Then just shortly after that, Gargano gets him in the Gargano escape. You think he's going to get out of it? Johnny Gargano pulls him right back in, and finally we get that tap for that second fall. Well, technically it was Johnny's second fall, but the third fall of the match. Just an incredible way to end the match. I want to look up actually real quick. I hate to take up all of our time, but I really like to look up the time frame of that match, because it did seem like such a long match, even though, you know, it went by so quickly. But it had to have gone, I would say, do you think at least 45 minutes?
Let me see. I don't
actually. Like, I just looked. Go ahead.
I don't feel like it didn't go that long, but
so it actually went 38:25.
Dang. Okay.
Yeah, they were in that ring for 38 minutes and 25 seconds. Oh. Anyways, I've yakked about this match enough. Did you have any other thoughts on it, George?
No, but I remember that at that point at the end of the match where Undisputed Era got in, I was like, oh my God, Adam Cole's going to win. And not that anything's wrong with Adam Cole winning, but I wanted Johnny Gargano to win. So it's one of those where, yeah, when they came out, I was like, no, don't do that. Johnny needs a win, and he won.
Well, and I think that was intentional too. I don't think it was necessarily Adam Cole's time.
Yeah.
I think they definitely had plans to put the belt on him. I mean, that was the whole raison d'etre of Undisputed Era, to be drenched in gold by the end of the year. And look at them now. But yeah, I think they did a really good job of making sure that the right person won. And I think it elevated both of the guys. Not that they really needed it at that point either. But both are going to be legit stars eventually. I shouldn't say eventually. Both of them already are legit stars. And they're going to continue, I think, to climb the ladder of the WWE. I'm really honestly surprised that Adam Cole hasn't been moved to the main roster yet and shot to the moon. I think at this point, it may be time for them to kind of pull the trigger on maybe him becoming a babyface. And that may be where they're going with the whole Finn Balor route. I don't know if you got a chance to see the promo he cut. I just watched it on Twitter last night where he was talking to Finn Balor. But again, he's able to take what was really like a mediocre promo. If you go and watch it, he's just talking at the camera by himself. I mean, he's basically saying the same thing, you know, about how you think you're number one, but I'm really number one. I'm going to keep my title and blah, blah, blah. And this week on blah, 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 I'm going to blah, blah, blah. But I mean, the passion that he is able to talk is incredible. And matching that with the work rate that he has is, you know, puts together that package of a future Hall of Famer, in my opinion. What did you think of the Iron Man suit, George?
That put it together. Ultimately, you know, and I really want to bring up the fact of what this, you know, what this whole show is dedicated to, and that's, you know, each one of these matches, each one of these individuals that we nominated, it wasn't because, oh, you know, these are our favorites. No, we definitely wanted to keep all of everybody and anybody and everybody in mind when we made these decisions. And I think the hardest thing is there's a lot of guys this year that you know, and unfortunate for them, we couldn't make them in our list. And it's not to say anything away. It's not anything to say bad about them. It's not to take away any of their credits, except it's a lot harder when you have, you know, thousands of wrestlers that, you know, that we see, you know, not only on our screens at home, but we see in indie shows, that we see on the internet, that we see on just pretty much just life altogether. And it's one of those where we, you know, we had guys that were like, man, they were so close to making it. You know, just guys where they had an impact this year, but we unfortunately just couldn't keep them in the list. But I think to each one of them, to each one of the tag teams, to each one of the women, each one of the men, each one of the superstars, each one of them deserve their own award. I don't know if you agree with me on that or not. I don't know. What do you think?
I think I keep using the nail on the head analogy, but it goes to right in line with the year that we've had in wrestling. It's been stellar. I think I mentioned it earlier in the show. You know, so many things happened. So many landmark events happened. AEW Dynamite. AEW is a thing now, and like they're competing with the WWE. I mean, even though they're not competing with the flagship show, technically they're competing. You know, that can be argued, but technically that's happening now. Whereas, you know, let's say 2 years ago, you know, we're just like, oh, you know, we're going through the motions pretty much. And this year, things just exploded, literally exploded in the wrestling world. We had the first women's WrestleMania main event. Again, we talked about that earlier. So yeah, making those decisions was so difficult. I think anytime you're putting together a list like this, it's difficult to get everybody on there who you think is worthy. I know for me, like one of the other categories, for any of the categories, I really wanted to find a way to include Andrade, because in our first episode of this podcast, I was expecting him to have gold by now, and they really haven't done anything with him. And I mean, he's even, not to say that he should get special treatment because he's dating Charlotte, but like, you know, it kind of makes me feel better that he's not getting that special treatment. And that he's, you know, maybe they're making him just work a little bit harder for it because of that situation. I don't think, you know, he should be giving any special treatment because of that. But at the same time, he is such a great ring worker. I think the only issue is with like promos, but again, you know, he's got Zelina Vega on his arm. Zelina Vega, excuse me, Miss Vega.
I just gotta make sure, Sergio. What's your opinion? Do you get an opinion for us?
Well, I want to first see if you guys have an opinion about how I sound. Am I coming through?
You're coming through. You just sound like you are underneath blankets in the dorm room, or what is it, in the basement of your mother's house or something.
I'm on a phone because I had to go find a payphone and put some quarters into it so we could finish the show. So,
what?
Yeah.
They have payphones in your neck of the woods?
I know, yeah, but we really don't have time to talk about that right now because we got to get the last award done for Match of the Year. So thanks, guys, for taking care of that. Let me go ahead and pull up the nominees for our last award, and I apologize for the difference in sound quality, but technical difficulties. In the House of Fatness. So give me 1 second as I bring up the nominees for Wrestler of the Year.
And they are
all right. Are you guys still hearing me okay?
Yeah, you're live.
Ooh, perfect. So, sorry, fans, for all of the rigmarole, but here we are, Wrestler of the Year for our end-of-year awards here at the Three Dudes of Doom. We'll have just enough time to list the nominees and then talk a little bit about the winners. Wrestler of the Year nominees, Cody Rhodes, Becky Lynch, Chris Jericho, Kofi Kingston, Shayna Baszler, and Adam Cole. And, guys, just for a couple of minutes, this list could have had any number of talents that didn't make our cut, and other organizations will have theirs as well. But I think we all agreed that we liked these six because they made significant impact continuously throughout the overall year that was 2019. Is that a fair assessment, George, and then Vic?
100%. You know, no matter if you just debuted on the roster, no matter if you just started with NXT, WWE, AEW, Ring of Honor, whatever, all of these guys stood. You know, they stood out. They made their impact. They contributed to their organization as a whole. And I think that was a determining factor.
Yeah, I think all of these wrestlers not only stand out in the product that they represent, but also in the business itself. A lot of these folks have made huge investments and impact in the wrestling world. I'm going to keep it short, though, because I know we don't got a ton of time.
Indeed. So, again, we've been doing these starting with the runner-ups and with a two-way tie. They each got 20% of the votes. Chris Jericho and Becky Lynch were our runners-up. On the list for the rest of the year. And so with our final award of the night in our inaugural Three Dudes of Doom end of year awards for 2019, 40% of the votes, our wrestler of the year, Adam Cole, baby, is the winner.
Mr. November rightfully debuted the Playboy, was it the Panama Playboy, the man,
Panama Playboy.
Yeah, the man that's known for his, you know, pretty much his impact with the industry, and rightfully deserved. Oh, and the leader of the Undisputed Era. Can't forget that.
Absolutely deserving, 100%. I feel like I just talked about him a ton on our last thing. So just see the last answer. He's going to be a Hall of Famer one day. If he doesn't, somebody's made a huge mistake somewhere, because he is Adam Cole, baby.
One of the super talented group of nominees this year for Wrestler of the Year. We want to say congratulations to all of the winners in our first round of any of your awards here at the Three Dudes of Doom. We want to thank once again the WrestleManiacs who helped us vote the list, and also want to thank all of you for always being here to listen in and have some fun with us on our show. Guys, we're on break for just a few more weeks, but we'll be back on January 8th with the beginning of Season 3, which looks to be a fun season as we head towards the Royal Rumble and on through to WrestleMania. So Season 3 looks to be a lot of fun already shaping up. Guys, happy holidays for however you celebrate the holiday season. I've had a great time having another conversation with you guys here.
Yeah, it's a great way to end off the year, not only just talking about what we love, but to obviously share what we love. And it's kind of, this is one of those bittersweet endings for the year. So, yeah, I'm glad to be able to have another, what is it? Glad to have started the year strong and ending off just as strong. And now on to the next year.
Yeah. I think 2020 is going to be a big year for the Three Dudes of Doom, kicking it off, going to see the Royal Rumble. I am super excited to share that with y'all, not just the audience, but with my other three dudes. So definitely see you in the next decade, internet. Don't break anything while we're gone.
Or
indeed. All right. Well, with that, as we always say, make sure you get out and watch local wrestling. let me try that again. Get out and watch local wrestling. You may be seeing tomorrow's stars today. Once again, on behalf of all of us here at the Three Dudes of Doom, enjoy the holiday season. Thank you for always being so supportive of us, and we look forward to seeing you next year with more Three Dudes of Doom. Bye.